He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. And you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I greet you today in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this wonderful day. Amen. I certainly greet you today, and it is a privilege to share the word of the Lord with you on any given Sunday, but especially on this wonderful day, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. We have so much to celebrate that the tomb is empty. To God be the glory. Well, we're in Mark chapter 16 this morning. We're going to take a look at Mark's account of the resurrection. And we're going to read from Mark chapter 16, verse 1, reading from the NIV. And it reads like this. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. And afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country, and these returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Now, final verse here. "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Amen. Let us just pray before we come into the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you again for this glorious day. We pray now that as we come to share and partake of your holy word, that you would just speak to our hearts today, inspire us, and move by the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you open our eyes now that we may behold wondrous things from your word. And Lord, as the servant preacher today, I pray, Lord, that you would anoint me afresh for this task, O Lord. I pray as the Apostle Paul prayed, that you give me the boldness and the utterance to speak, to make known the mystery of your gospel. Bless both preacher and hearer now as we partake of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today I want to speak to you from this very simple phrase and thought. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. Church, the sermon title today, despite the simplicity of its expression, the significance that I'm saying it's a beautiful day is not just a mere reference to the weather. For we know that, as custom in this country, that if we were to venture outside, the sun is shining, and you meet someone along the way, more often than not, someone is bound to utter these words: "Lovely weather, isn't it?" Or, "Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful day." However, the reason why I have chosen this sermon title this morning, "It's a Beautiful Day," is by no means a reference to the weather. As I was coming here this morning with my mum, I asked her, "What comes to mind when I say it's a beautiful day?" She said something that was very helpful. She said, "Well, in this country, it would be more likely a reference to the weather. But in Jamaica, if you was to say it was a beautiful day, because every day the sun is shining," she said, "it would be more likely to the lay man or woman on the street, if you said it was a beautiful day, they would think, oh, someone's won the lottery or something." It means perhaps different things to many people. It's a beautiful day. However, the reason why it's a beautiful day, we know, is because the tomb is empty. Now, I don't know what the weather was like on that fateful first day over 2,000 years ago, first day of the week. But what I do know is this, that regardless of what the weather was back then, and even regardless of what the weather would be like today, even if today would produce a torrential outpouring of rain, even if today would produce and serve us a menu of hailstones, gale force wind, or even snow, can I tell you, friends, that even in such climates, today would still be a beautiful day. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we are called, in response to this day, to rejoice and be glad in it. Because God has afforded us another opportunity, another day, and we are to respond in gratitude. As a kid growing up in Sunday school, I remember they would teach us the song that "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, for he has made me glad." However, church, even more so than the blessings of a brand new day, the reason why it's a beautiful day is because this is the day that is set aside in the Christian calendar where we pause to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's a beautiful day because the tomb is empty, that there is no burial site found for the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no death certificate issued or registered for the death of Jesus Christ. Because up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. And he arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. And church, the reason why it's a beautiful day is because Jesus is alive, and he is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. However, church, despite the fact and the knowledge that we know it's a beautiful day because Jesus lives, the question this morning from Mark's account of the resurrection story is, what did that first day of the week look like? What was the response of those who were in receipt of the news that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead? What was the sights and the sounds like that first Sunday morning? What was the mood like amongst the people? Well, to describe the mood as presented by Mark in chapter 16, I've borrowed the assistance of a three-year-old little boy from a lovely book that was given to me by one of our members. It's entitled Bloopers and Blessings. Bloopers and Blessings. And in this little book, a three-year-old boy misquoted the words of a famous Christmas carol, "O come, let us adore him." And the three-year-old's version of the Christmas carol was, "O come, let us ignore him. O come, let us ignore him. O come, let us ignore him, Christ the Lord." And friends, in a certain way, this seemed to be the expression of the disciples on that first Sunday morning. Now, to cut the disciples some slack here, it wasn't really the case that they were blatantly ignoring Jesus, but because of fear, the disciples were petrified, perhaps for their own lives, as a result of what had taken place just 3 days prior. So they remained behind closed doors in Jerusalem. But Mark lets us know that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, were on their way to the tomb, where they thought the dead body of Jesus would be laying. And they came to the tomb with spices in their hand to anoint the dead body of Jesus. Now, the more that I read and try to put myself in the shoes of these women, the more and more questions coming to my mind. Because here are two women in a patriarchal society heading to the tomb with one item on their agenda: to anoint the dead body of Jesus. However, church, the question that I would have loved to have asked these women is, if they truly believe that Jesus was dead, if they truly believe that he was dead, and they made their way to the tomb to anoint his dead body, the first question is, how were they expecting to gain access to a tomb that was guarded by the Roman authorities? And not only that, but how were they expecting to roll away a large stone in front of the tomb? But what is interesting, that despite the obstacles that were in their way, they came to pay their respects to what they believed, that they would find the dead body of Jesus. But oh, as they made their way to the tomb, they were expecting to find a dead body. They were expecting to find the deceased. They were expecting to pay their respects to one who had passed away. But thanks be unto God, what they found was a morning miracle. Because the stone was rolled away. There was no body in proximity of the tomb. And there they saw an angel in the form of a man who gave them some assurance to not be afraid and told them the message to go and tell the other disciples the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead. But the challenge for that first Sunday morning church, and the challenge even for us today, is the fact that there was an unquestionable amount of unbelief around the resurrection. Because despite the fact that the angel had told them that Jesus had risen from the dead, the Bible lets us know that the women were sore afraid. They were petrified. And they did not go and tell the other disciples as they were summoned to do. And it's what we see here is a seeing is believing mentality. Seeing is believing. You have many even today who doubt the resurrection of Jesus Christ simply because they cannot believe it because they did not see it with their own eyes. There are many today that say, I respect the Christian faith, respect Christians, but I cannot believe that a man was crucified on the cross in such a heinous fashion that they inflicted so much pain on him and he was buried in the tomb. And you're telling me that he got up on the third day? Many today refuse to believe it. And they say, unless I see it for myself, I can't believe. And friends, that seemed to be the trend here in Mark chapter 16. The disciples, when they became in receipt of the news that Jesus had risen from the dead, there seemed to be a lack of belief in the resurrection. It's just like Thomas. Nowhere more do we see this expressed by Thomas, who said, unless I can see the nail prints in his hands for myself, and unless I can reach out and touch him for myself, then I can't believe. And you know, what's interesting about this church is Jesus had spent much time before he was crucified preparing his disciples for what would happen. It's not that it just happened unexpectedly. He prepared his disciples for what would come. In fact, on one occasion in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was sharing with his disciples that he would be betrayed and that he would suffer, but then he would rise on the third day. And the Bible lets us know that Simon Peter, he took Jesus aside privately and he rebuked him. I always struggle with this, that Peter rebuked the Lord. And he said, far be it from you. This will never happen to you. I won't allow it to happen. But Jesus turned to him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus could look beyond Peter's concern to protect him and recognize the plot of the enemy to disturb the plan of God. And this was not the only occasion where Jesus prepared his followers for what would happen. However, despite the Lord's earnest preparation on this beautiful morning, there seems to be a lack of belief. And Mark goes on to list for us a roll call of occasions where the resurrection of Jesus was dismissed by those who were nearest and dearest to him. And church, as we think about our context today, this seeing is believing mentality, as we do our best to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in our community and in this nation, we know that we are faced at times with obstacles, with doubt, and with unbelief. So how then do we deal with this? Well, I believe that the one thing that needs to happen is that faith must be exercised. Because we have to move from a seeing is believing mentality to believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. Because we don't have to see the tangible evidence and proof that Jesus got up for us to believe that it happened. Because by faith we believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, years ago, in secondary school, in year 7, me and my friends, we missed the school bus one morning. And consequently, we were late for school. And we knew that as a result, that a detention was probably going to be coming in our direction. And I remember the deputy head teacher, Miss Ogden, she was taking all of the names of those who missed the assembly so that a half an hour detention would be our reality. And standing next to me was my friend that I actually went to primary school with. And his parents are from Turkey. And what's interesting about my friend is his first name and his surname is pronounced exactly the same. Exactly the same. So when Miss Ogden was taking the names of all the students who had missed the assembly, and she came to my friend, she said, "What is your first name?" He said, "Hussein." She said, "What is your surname?" He said, "Hussein." And her response was, "Stop messing around. What is your real name?" Church, she was adamant that it was not feasible for his first name and his surname to be exactly the same. And church, you know, when it comes to the gospel message of the resurrection, unfortunately, there are many today who struggle to comprehend, struggle to fathom this great mystery of godliness, according to Paul, that God sent his only Son into the world, not to condemn it, but that the world through Jesus might be saved. That Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. It almost seems foolishness to many that a man was crucified on a cross, buried in a tomb, and then miraculously raised back to life on the third day. Unless I can see it for myself, I can't believe. So then, what should be the response? Well, after Jesus had now appeared to the 11 while they were eating, they had their doubts prior. When the women shared the message with the disciples, they didn't believe them. Nah, can't believe that. No, no way. He's dead. No way. But eventually, after Jesus had appeared to them, the Bible lets us know that he rebuked them for their lack of belief. But then he did something interesting. And what he said to his disciples is so relevant even for us today. Because after correcting them and rebuking them for their their lack of belief, he then went on to encourage them that they needed to go out and do something very important. Now that you have come to terms with the fact that I have been raised back to life, what then should be your mission? He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of creation. Go out and share this message. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't keep this wonderful treasure in your hearts. But share the good news in the world. And church, can I encourage you today that God has called us as Sitting Bourne Baptist Church, that we are located on this high street with a mission in mind. And that mission has not changed. Prior to the pandemic, the mission was clear. During the pandemic, the mission is clear. And post the pandemic, the mission is still clear. We are to preach the gospel. That is our mission. We can't keep this message, this wonderful truth hidden in our hearts. We've got to share it, friends. And even if we are faced with doubters, just like in Mark 16, we have been called to share the glorious truth of the gospel. Hallelujah. So he lives. He lives. We've got to progress from a seeing is believing mentality to a believing is seeing. And then the response should be to go out into all the world and share the gospel. So the reason why it's a beautiful day is because Jesus lives. And here's the wonderful truth as well about this blessed gospel that we have received. A beautiful day, when we mention the phrase a beautiful day, we know that, especially living in this country, that a beautiful day, in reference to the weather, has a temporal tag attached to it. Because we know that in this country, the one day sunshine, the next day can be a total different reality. But here's the blessed fact for the Christians. Even if the sun is not shining in our hearts, even if we are going through the valley of the shadow of death in our own lives, even if we are going through turmoil, distress and anguish, it seems like nothing is going right in our lives. Can I encourage you? It's still a beautiful day. Do you know why? Because we have the glorious message and truth of the gospel that has been revealed to us. So come sunshine or rain, it's a beautiful day. Come sickness or even in good health, it's still a beautiful day. Come COVID-19 or no COVID-19, it's still a beautiful day because Jesus lives. And regardless of what is going on in our lives, regardless of the obstacles that we are faced with, every day is a beautiful day because Jesus lives. So go out, friends, and share this wonderful message. And can I encourage you in closing, in a socially distant manner, of course, be when the weather is not looking so good outside. Let me encourage you to venture outside. Maybe it's raining, and take an umbrella, or it's just cold. Just go out and venture out, maybe for a walk. And if you come across someone, just go up to them and say, "It's a beautiful day, isn't it?" Beautiful, glorious day. Hailstone, wind, beautiful day. And I'm sure they'll look back at you and say, "What are you talking about?" But the reason why we can say to them it's a beautiful day is because Jesus lives. And that is the message that the world needs to receive. That whatever is going on around us, that's why we still have hope. That's why we could still have hope even in this very difficult season. That's why we could still have hope even though we couldn't gather together corporately for such a long time. It's because we know that Jesus lives. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He does not change. And I'm so glad this morning that he lives within our hearts. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful day. And Lord, as we have looked at Mark's account of the resurrection story, Lord, there's so much that we can glean from it. That those women were expecting to find the dead body of Jesus. But thanks be unto God, the stone was rolled away. And that angel could encourage them that he has risen. And Lord, we see even the doubters and the naysayers on that first Sunday morning. And we know that that continues even today. Those who doubt the gospel message, those who refuse to believe and have that seeing is believing mentality, that unless I see it for myself, I won't believe. But I pray this morning that you would begin to warm the hearts of those who unbelieve. That, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them. That you would break down the walls and the barriers and that mindset, that you can deposit into them that great faith to believe, even if they don't see it with their own eyes. And then finally, Lord, that call of response that Jesus prepared his disciples for, that since we have this great hope, we are to go into the world and communicate the message of salvation. I pray as a church, individually and collectively, that we will never lose sight of that mandate, that we are called here to share the light, not to keep it for ourselves, but to share the light. How to reach the masses, men of every birth. For an answer, Jesus gave the key. And if I be lifted up, we thank you that you will draw all men unto you. So we love you and we bless you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.